Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Discovery's live stream.
Welcome.
It's been a while since we have been here with you, and we're so glad to be back today. Our summer, these last weeks, have been filled with a lot of serving our family, and we've missed being here with our church family. So here we are. We're back again and continuing the Bound and Determined series.
Yeah, so it's so good. We've been in the book of Genesis for a long time. And we're getting close to the end. I'm going to be a little bit sad to see it go because it is so good. But anyway, make sure you have your Bible with you this morning. We're going to be in Genesis 45 this morning.
It's always hard to finish a good book.
Oh, man, it's hard to finish a good book. Ugh.
But we want to know, how has your summer been going?
Yeah.
It's almost, I hate to say it, but we're looking at August.
No.
Oh, yeah,
we have lots of summer left. I don't even get all the conversation this morning about
what we'd like to invite you to do is to let us know. Here we are, kind of in the mid of summer. How's your summer been? Maybe drop something in the chat and let us know what you've been up to. We'd love to know how your summer is. And speaking of summer,
yeah,
we had some fun together. We had beach day
a
couple weeks ago, or was that last week?
That was just last week.
Yeah, so we had some fun gathering with people outdoors out in Miller, Sylvania. So much fun.
Yeah.
And I think some kids threw some water balloons at you.
Yes, it was fun for them.
But
maybe guess
they didn't
what?
Hear
I
your
have a
sermon
long memory.
On the 4th of July.
I know I'm not supposed to hold on to things long, but I'm holding
you really
kids.
Shouldn't.
I just want you to know
John,
I'm holding on to things.
John, there's better questions than how do you get even. We have some more summer fun coming. Traditionally speaking, at Discovery, we love to worship outdoors every summer, and we have something called Disco Fest.
Disco Fest, boom.
Yeah, Disco Fest means we break out our disco dance moves.
Totally. So we want everybody to bring your polyester.
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever told people that your email is discochurch.com and they think that we
like that? Some people are like, you dance? This is a dancing church? Yes.
Disco Fest has been kind of our time to gather outdoors and have some fun. We get to worship under, you know, this beautiful open space, and it's great. We have our church services outside, followed by some fellowship and food, and that's coming up next Sunday.
Next
on
Sunday,
August
the 8th, Wapato Park, and it'll be at 11:30. So Wapato Park, 11:30 next Sunday. Love to have you come and join us.
Next Sunday, August 1.
What did I say? Did I say it wrong?
You said the 8th, but on
August 1.
I'm thinking about something else.
Because, yes, on August 8th, we're going to be having our baptism services. So we're not going to be able to have them at Wapato Park. So we're going to be having baptism services on August 8th at our Tacoma location. And so some of you, it's time for you to be baptized. Maybe you've been wrestling with this or been thinking about it, and it's been going through COVID. So I'm going to tell you, it'll be a fantastic time for you to be obedient. And Jesus called us to be baptized. It's our way to publicly profess our faith in Christ. It doesn't mean that you've figured it all out, you're perfect. It does mean that you're declaring that Jesus is your hope and trust. So I'd love to have some of you, if you're interested in being baptized, I just want you to drop baptism in the chat. Or you can shoot me an email. She already told you my email address, john@discochurch.com. You say, Pastor John, I'm interested in being baptized. We also have some short seminars coming up on baptism. If you'd like to wait, we can help you get into one of those. We have one coming up in August, another one in September. So.
Right. Yeah. We also have coming your way a survey where we are asking everyone involved in Discovery, whatever service that you join us through, we're just trying to get a feel for where people are most comfortable serving. So if you're interested in filling out this survey, that's just basically gonna ask you where you would feel the most comfortable serving in our church, because we would love for you to get involved. It's such a great way to grow in your faith, to also connect with other believers and serve the body of Christ. If you're interested in taking the survey, we're going to ask you to text the word service to the text to prayer line.
Yeah. So she's being awfully kind right now.
Oh.
She's being really soft and tender about this. I'm going to ask you specifically to not just consider it. I'm going to ask you to do it, all right? So I want you to drop the word serve in the text-to-church line right now. We're going to send you a link. We want you to get engaged in this mission. What we're about here in Tacoma and beyond the borders of the city is life-changing. And God has given you a unique gift. I know many of you right now, you're thinking, oh, what kind of gift do I possibly have? And you're diminishing what God has done. And that's just, it's diminishing the work of God in your life right now. And the work of God, watch this, in the kingdom. You have an incredible gift. So I want you right now to drop the word serve in the text to church prayer line. And we're going to get you a link right now to a way for you to say, hey, here's some places I would like to try serving in.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you connected. We've got some great things coming up in the fall, which need people just like you. So take a minute. So I'm sorry.
No,
you're being so gentle,
nice.
There's
a couple things that he's always going to get fired up about, because honestly, over years of being in the family of God, there's two ways that we've seen God shape people in a deep way. And obviously one is serving, right?
Totally.
Using your gifts. And the other one is always going to be small group.
Yep.
Living in community and serving God are just tools in his hand. I agree with you.
Yeah, I know
so
you do.
So you should do that.
You're just good cop and we're bad cop.
Yeah.
So. And I know, again, one other thing about this, I don't want to belabor this too much, but some of you right now, you're at home and you're thinking, I can't join with them in person. Doesn't matter. There are ways for you to serve, even from your home, even from a distance, and we'll help you find some ways to serve. All right.
Okay.
I'll get off my soapbox.
No.
Just for the minute, because I'm probably
It's a good warm-up, because it's time for us to worship and for Pastor John to preach, and I think he's warmed up to bring God's word passionately today, because you know what? We honestly believe that in these moments, God meets with us. If our heart is soft and our ears are open, he's so faithful to speak. So let's ready our hearts to hear from him. John's going to be in Genesis 45. Open up your Bible, open up your heart, get a notebook ready, because God's going to speak. And as a way to prepare, we have a great song of worship this morning. So I'm going to ask John to pray, and then we're going to turn our hearts to God in worship. Let's pray together.
Jesus, thank you for this morning. It's another great day. Honestly, every day that you give us breath and life is a great day. You said that each day we get to awaken with the mercies of God. Hmm. They're new every morning.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, for another day that you've given us, and we're grateful. And we pray, Father, that you would help us step into the way that you're making.
I agree.
We believe that you are already making a way forward, and we pray that you give us the courage and the faith to press into it. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Well, welcome to Bound and Determined. Hopefully you have the book of Genesis open. Find Genesis chapter 45. And we are almost done with the book of Genesis, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm going to lament a little bit leaving this. We're going to have a great series coming after this. We're going to be talking about what's going to be called Guts, the things that make us who we are as Christ followers. We're going to be walking through what it really means to be a Christ follower. But right now, as we wrap up this book of Genesis and this series Bound and Determined, it's really all been about this theme of how to finish well. So not only are we coming to the end of or finishing this book, we're talking about how to finish well, how to end well, not just start well in your journey, but how to end well. Now, one of the things that you likely have noticed as you watch people, maybe even watch your own life, but certainly you see it in the life of Joseph, is that one of the things it takes to finish well is it takes strength. It takes strength to finish well. It takes some determination. It takes some grit. However, one of the dangers is that as we kind of make our way through life, get a little bit of history behind us, you know, as we amass some of our bumps and bruises, fail, and then survive it. One of the things we discover is that as you go through life with the strength, this determination, is that sometimes that very strength that carries you betrays you. That very grit, that grittiness that you have depended on can shift and often shifts into grumpiness, right? Sometimes strength starts looking like inflexibility. Sometimes strength starts looking like fear to consider somebody else's opinion or fear of being wrong or being wrong or being wronged. That strength, that determination, that grit can sometimes create a little lack of trust so that we're slow to tenderness and slow to softness and slow to love. And honestly, we become slow to ever moving first.
I didn't do it. Okay.
Everybody just calm down.
Count of three, we're all gonna put down our guns.
I have crossbows.
We'll put down our weaponry on the count of three.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
One, two,
three.
Now that clip from The Office, I fear that clip from The Office looks like a lot of our own offices, right? My fear is that little moment is sometimes played out in our relationships, friendships, sometimes in our own living rooms, or sadly, sometimes even our bedrooms, right? We have this fear of moving first. And we start to buy into this notion that human strength that carried us to here is what's going to carry us to the future. But human strength, human power is much different than God's strength. Human strength is slow to moving first. Human strength, slow to moving first, becomes an enemy to our healing, enemy to the necessary restoration of broken relationships. That fear of moving first sometimes is at the root of us not finishing well. Sometimes that fear of moving first betrays the work of God in and through our lives. You and I, as we grow older in our faith walk, as we get more years logged in, we need to continue to grow tenderly. We need to be the people who are more apt to move first. We're going to look at this in the life of Joseph today. So again, let's just have a recap in Joseph's life before we get back to this move first theme. You remember that Joseph started out with a dream. It wasn't something he asked for or wanted necessarily. Scripture just tells us, the book of Genesis tells us, God gave him this dream. And so he begins to share this dream with the people closest to him, the people he should trust, his family. And his family betrays him. His family hates the dream. And I think we talked about this early on in this series, that you're going to notice in life that when you have a dream, you're going to find a ton of people want to put the dream out. They would rather bury the dream in your life. And this is what happens in Joseph's life. His family betrays him, not just a little. This is one of the most severe betrayals ever. They throw him in a pit, and his brothers, nearly all of his brothers, are figuring out how they want to best kill him, all right? Not just beat him up, not make him feel bad. They really want to kill him. And one of the brothers essentially saves his life by convincing the others to sell him as a slave. So Joseph is betrayed, and then he's sold into slavery. He ends up landing in this place called Egypt, which I know you're familiar with. And in Egypt, he is now a slave, and he works his way up. And there, as he's working his way up in a family, a powerful family, he is again betrayed. He is again loses trust. He's betrayed, and he finds himself in prison. And so there in prison, he's navigating his way through prison, and he again gets betrayed in prison. His life has been a series, if you would look at it this way, a series of people betraying him, a series of taking a step forward and somebody just cutting him out at the knees. However, God is faithful in Joseph's life. And Joseph ends up finding his way out of prison. He does so because the word on the street is that Joseph has this ability, this God-given ability, to interpret dreams. And so a dream that the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, has not been interpreted by anybody except this guy in prison named Joseph. He interprets this dream. The dream is this. The interpretation of the dream is this, that there's going to be 7 years of just flourishing. And following 7 years of flourishing, there's going to be 7 years of terrible famine. And when the Pharaoh hears this, he looks down to Joseph, says, "What would you do?" And Joseph lays out a plan. And then, interestingly enough, after this conversation, the Pharaoh looks at him and he says, "Hey, why don't you run the plan?" And all of a sudden, Joseph now becomes the second most powerful person on the planet. Just like that. Well, Joseph navigates as a leader through these times of flourishing, and even as the famine begins, he navigates and he leads through the famine. And the famine doesn't just strike Egypt and a few people, it strikes the entire globe. And so as you would have it, Joseph's family, that he hasn't seen in years and years and years, their life is impacted by this famine, and they make their way to Egypt looking for some help. Well, one thing leads to another, and this family, these brothers, are reunited. They are brought into Joseph's court. Now, here's the trick. They don't know it's Joseph's court. They have no clue that Joseph is even alive or what he's doing. And they could not, in their wildest dreams or imaginations, imagine that they'd be sitting in front of Joseph in his court, sitting in front of him in his power. But they are. And Joseph, they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. And so he sees them and he wrestles. He's got this, like, what do you do? What do you do when all of a sudden you get to face the people who did you dirty, the people who've done you bad, the people who've betrayed you? And he wrestles with this for a time until all of a sudden there's this moment where Joseph is sitting in this room. They're going to share a meal together. Again, the brothers think that they're meeting with an official. They don't know that it's their brother Joseph. And during the meal, the emotions inside of Joseph overwhelm him, and he begins to weep in the middle of the meal. And it must have been a weird or frightful sight to be some of these brothers, to be, first of all, they're not really sure why they're invited to have a meal with the most powerful person on the planet, right? And then all of a sudden to see him break down and start weeping, they're thrown. And then Joseph has all the people in the room except the brothers leave. He's weeping there, and the brothers are in this room now realizing they've been left and abandoned alone with the most powerful person on the planet other than Pharaoh himself, and he's breaking down. And you can imagine the fears already building in them, the uncertainty. And then in the middle of the tears, Joseph looks them in the eye and he says this, "I'm Joseph, your brother. I am certain that you could hear a pin drop." He has to repeat it a couple times. He has to prove that he's the real deal. And as he is doing this, one by one, as the light bulbs are going off and among these brothers, not only is the awareness there, but now all of a sudden fear like never before. In fact, the Bible records this. It says that they were terribly afraid. I mean, this is probably the most fearful moment in their life. They're sitting before the most powerful man on the planet, and they're realizing that they threw him in a pit years ago. Now, what's going to happen to them? And after he says, "I'm Joseph," several times, he then says, "Come close." Now, the book of Genesis doesn't tell us how long it takes them to come close. It just says when they did. So I want us to remember that the room is filled with this intense emotion and fear. It's a standoff. And once they come close, Genesis 45 verse 14 says this, "Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping. And then he kissed all his brothers and he wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him." Years and years of anguish, guilt, and pain melted because Joseph moved first. Because Joseph stepped across this grand canyon of a divide that was being created by sin and pain, and he moved first. Real strength and real power is not refusing to move first. It's staying tender and soft and remaining passionate about moving first in all of our relationships. In the New Testament, it says the Spirit of God, the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid, does not make us standoffish, right? But gives us power and love. Power and you have been given power, and love. Moving first is not a sign of weakness in your marriage. Write that down. Moving first is not a sign of weakness in your home. It's not a sign of weakness in your neighborhood, and it is certainly not a sign of weakness even in the office. Moving first is a sign of incredible power, and it's a sign of those who finish well. God has called you and I to continue to move first. Move first in our city. Move first when there's uncomfortable. Move first when there's hurt. To move first. Some of you right now, you're waiting for somebody else to move first. You're waiting for somebody else to take the first step, to say the first thing, and God is calling you right now to move first. Now you say, okay, but you realize how hard it is. Yeah, I've had some of my own moments where I don't want to move first. But I want us to see this morning that the Spirit of God is not only calling, but He's enabling. And I want us to look a little bit closer at Joseph's life and journey. And I want us to see what fuels him still being able to move first after so much pain, so much difficulty. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 45, just after Joseph reveals who he is, and just before that hug, you know, and the tears, Joseph looks at his brothers, and I want us to hear this. This is verse 5 and also verse 7. It says, Joseph says, don't be distressed, okay? He senses the stress in the room. Don't be distressed. And he says, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here. So by the way, he doesn't glance over the pain, all right? He's not pretending that nothing bad happened. He says, hey, I don't want you to be distressed. I don't want you to feel bad for like doing me dirty, which you did, all right? He says, but then he goes on, he says, it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Because I've known a lot of people and walked through some pain with a lot of people, I just want you to hear from me. I find it amazing that after all this stuff, Joseph's still talking about God. You know, and I know people who just were so mad and frustrated at the pain, they stopped talking about God, not Joseph. Joseph's not only still talking about God, but do you hear his language? He says, I want you to know that God sent me, through all of this pain, I have seen and felt and experienced God's hand. I'm here today not because of your sin or the stuff that you did to me. I'm here today, watch this, because of the grace of God. I am a child of God's grace. It's just dripping out of Joseph that he sees that he's a child of God's grace. Now, people who move first are men and women who have experienced the grace of God. Watch this personally. People who move first, they have experienced the grace of God personally. It's fresh to them. They know God's hand is all over their life. They're no longer controlled by bitterness. They see the hand of God. 1 John chapter 4, John says this, we love because he first loved us. The love that's like emanating from my life comes from only one place, and that's the love of God. Jesus says in the book of Luke, he says, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Like this is how it works. People who no longer move first are no longer feeling and experiencing the grace of God in their life. Oh, should I say that again, or was that one time hard enough? Because let it sink in. People who refuse to move first no longer feel and experience the grace of God in our lives. God, forgive us. So what do you do about that? What do you do if the grace of God seems like a distant, far-off idea? Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right now, it doesn't matter. You can be like 108. Right? You can be 8 or 108. Wherever you are in life, at this moment you could say, Jesus, I am weary and burdened. I'm coming home, and the grace of God is waiting for you. Oh, that's good. I'm going to keep moving, though. I'd love to hang out there. So it wasn't just that Joseph experienced like this internal freedom. He also experienced an eternal, not just an internal, but an eternal call. I want to read it again, verse 7. Let's listen to it again. It says, Joseph says, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. That's remarkable. Joseph is no longer asking God, where are you? But he's been asking the question, why me? And here's the answer. God did this in me to rescue a world. Like, I've been through all of this crap. I've been through all of this difficulty, and God has just carried me, and I've experienced his grace. And he did this not so I could just be a sponge and soak it all up. He did this so I could be a broken vessel and spill it out everywhere I go. Joseph says, I've been captivated by a call to bring freedom. This is the second thing. People who move first because they are determined to bring freedom into each and every relationship that they're in. They no longer see life as something that's sort of coming at them. They see themselves as going at life. Look at this in Matthew 16. This is a call not just for Joseph. So let's listen. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I will give you, and the you he's talking about is us, you, me, the church. He says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not so that you can unlock heaven and climb in there and then close the door behind you. No, watch this. He says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have been given the grace of God as a key, not to unlock heaven for yourself, but to unlock heaven to the entire world. Joseph says, I've been brought to this moment to bring freedom to each and every person I see, and I'm realizing, can you imagine? Like, I'm realizing that it wasn't just for the Egyptians. It wasn't just for Potiphar and his servants. It wasn't for the people in jail. It was for my own betrayers, my own family. Romans chapter 12 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what work would look like tomorrow? If you arrived with a determination to bring freedom, not just surviving the office, not just surviving school, not just surviving the warehouse, but you brought with you a determination to bring freedom. Can you imagine with me what would happen? If you brought that into your neighborhood, not just like, can I just not be bugged by the things around me, but what if God placed you in your neighborhood to bring freedom? What if God did all of the stuff in your life so that when you walk into your living room or into your bedroom, into the closest, most intimate relationships of your life, if you walked into them with a determination to bring freedom, God did all this, Joseph says, so that God could redeem you. Wow. So people who move first are not only experience the grace of God, but people who move first are determined to bring freedom. And let me go quickly on the last couple. People who move first are people who practice moving first, who practice it. I've had quite a few coaches and instructors in my life, and you probably have as well, and you've probably heard this before. The promise has always been, from my coaches, that you will perform the way you practice. Every coach in my life has warned me and warned everybody I've been on a team with that if you practice sloppy, you will play sloppy. If you practice to lose, you will lose. You practice hard so that you can finish hard. You practice to win so that you win. We do the same thing in our lives. We must practice the grace in some safe places. Now, this week, we're right in the middle of the Olympics. The Olympics have just started. Some of us are going to watch history being made during the Olympics. And we're going to watch history made, and some of us, we're going to buy into the narrative that history was made in a matter of milliseconds, right? We're going to watch records be broken in slivers of time, or maybe like inches or centimeters will set new world records, and people will cheer and we will celebrate like, wow, this person did it in those, you know, half of a second. And the thing is, it didn't happen in half of a second. Every world record, every new thing that happens, of course, in Olympics happened over hours and weeks and years, often in silence with nobody watching, as an athlete practices over and over and over and over again. You being tender in maybe a really big, significant moment in your life is going to depend on you living tender each and every day. Sort of like generosity. I'm always humored when people imagine how they would live different if they were Jeff Bezos, right? Or Bezos. They're like, well, I wouldn't buy a rocket to go to outer space. I would change the world. And I always think to myself, well, would you? Because I've never seen you open a door for anybody, right? Would you really give millions away to solve the world's biggest crisis? Because honestly, I've never seen you, sponsor a child, right? The reality is that in your big moment, and it will come, everybody here, you're going to have a big moment. I wonder if you and I will be ready for that big moment. And the way we get ready is we practice it in the small moments. Every little moment, every little day, we choose tenderness and love. So when the big moment comes, we're ready. People who move first not only practice it, but here's the last one. People who move first are men and women who first and foremost trust God. I want to read that verse one more time. In verse 7, it says, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. You know, Joseph believed in a great deliverance. A deliverance that he couldn't bring and he would never be able to, but only God could do. Joseph, I am sure, didn't know how everything would lay out if he revealed himself and he offered forgiveness and grace. He just knew that he must trust God, and that God would take care of all the rest. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. When I'm frozen, I'm not sure that I want to move first. It ultimately betrays my confidence in God. I wonder if somebody will get off the hook. I wonder if someone will misuse my tenderness. Trust God. Trust God with your closest relationships. Trust God in your family. Trust God in your neighborhood. Trust God with your work relationships. Trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I hope those paths for you will be a path that is paved by moving first. Would you pray with me right now? Let's just take a moment and pray. Jesus, forgive us for the days and moments in which we posture ourselves with fear, anger, disappointment, and refuse to move first. My prayer for every man and woman here this morning is that the same strength that you gave them to navigate every one of the things that they walk through, they will surrender to you and allow that strength to fuel forgiveness, tenderness, love. And I'm praying, God, that you'd break some bonds this morning and help some of us move first. We will move first only because you've empowered us to do so. Some of you right now need to ask Jesus. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life. You've been trying to be a good guy, a good lady. You've never asked Jesus. Let me encourage you this morning to do the first step. You see, God's already moved first toward you and me, and he's just inviting you to let him in. So you might pray something this morning like this: God, I want to be soft. So Jesus, will you come in my life and save me? Jesus, will you redeem me? And then maybe from here, you might redeem the rest. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with me in Genesis 45. In just a moment, Tracy's going to be back here with me. So give me just a moment, but we're going to have her come back here on camera, and we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to walk through some prayer requests. We're going to talk about some really important things that are coming up, so don't go anywhere, and we'll see you in just a minute.
Welcome you back after such an amazing message from Bound and Determined. I was so encouraged to be determined more than ever to keep my heart soft to God's touch and be the one to move first. Thank you so much, John, for that message. We are now at our giving back to God moment, and we have some opportunities for you to consider. We have prayer requests that we want to ask you to join us in praying over. Giving back to God.
Honestly, I think we say this nearly every week. It is a joy to do mission and ministry with you. And you and I and Tracy, we all get to be partners together in God's incredible work around the globe and even locally. So
we have a couple of things happening right now.
Right
we have
now.
A team that's moving traveling back to help at Eternal Anchor.
Well, we have one coming back from Eternal Anchor that's been there, and then we have another one going to Eternal Anchor. So great.
Awesome.
Some mission teams going to join our partner in Mexico. It's just, they do such amazing work. So you can check out more at Eternal Anchor, look that up. But your generosity makes that happen. Also, this week, we have the last
summer break.
Yeah.
And it's happening at Wright Park, this huge park in the center of Tacoma, partnering with, I believe it's Hilltop Christian Center.
Tell them a little bit what summer break is again.
Has been happening during the summer, reaching out to children in the city of Tacoma. We have a group of 5 young women who have
been here as our summer intern team,
and they've worked so hard reaching out to kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ, having fun with children and families, and sharing the love of God. Yeah. And their last summer break is happening this week at Wright Park. So would you join us in praying over that effort and that it would be fruitful? And also, we just want to remind you that when you're giving to Discovery Community Church, these are some of the things that your giving goes to support. Helping with Eternal Anchor in Baja, California, Mexico, and also right here in Tacoma, helping with these outreach efforts. So there's an opportunity this morning for you to give to Discovery as part of your worship. And we're so grateful.
Honestly, we don't feel bad asking you to click on that give link. We think that this church has a high level of integrity around all the resources given to us, and we give them back to the world, and you get to be a part of that.
Wow.
So take a minute and just click on that giving back to God link. Use that. We've got some great stuff coming up in the fall, too, that we're going to be a part of. And one of the things that you could do right now is you could join us. We're going to pray for prayer requests. But one prayer request I want you to pray with us for is that we're hoping this fall, our target is the very first week in October to launch an in-person 9:15 service.
Yeah.
And so we're asking you to pray with us for a great location. We need a space. And so we need God to show us some favor. And so we're asking and we're looking. But would you just pray with us?
Sean and I are praying every day in our time with God. We are asking him to provide a space that would bring him so much glory. And we invite you to please pray with us that he would show his favor and provide a location where we could have our services at 9:15, 11 o'clock. We know, folks, and that those times work well. So please pray for that. And here are requests that have been sent in this morning. I'm going to read through these. You can jot these down, pray over them during the week. We have our dear friend, Cheryl, who's on long-term mission with Eternal Acre, who's been struggling with some health issues. We're praying for health. My son, Jason, is needing prayer for health. That's not my son. That's what someone sent. A grandfather who is struggling with dementia. Again, praying for a location for Discovery this fall. Someone who's going through hip replacement this week and asking for a great nursing and doctor staff, asking that God would rise above her fear. A dear friend who has COVID symptoms, who's just got back from travel, praying for health. Opportunities for service. This wife is saying, my husband wants to serve. He knows how good it is for him, and he's longing for opportunities. So praying for those right matches for opportunities to serve.
Okay.
A gratefulness for a prayer partner this week, and being able to turn and look how God has answered prayer and giving thanks this morning. Safe travel for this team that's heading down to Eternal Anchor. Boldness for those who are wanting to be baptized.
Yeah.
A 15-year-old niece who has lost her father suddenly, praying for comfort. An interview this week for a promotion for one of you, for God's favor. And a young person in our church who's going through a painful breakup.
Okay.
We're going to pray for you. Would you join us as we pray? Let's go to the Father.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of coming to your throne, for confidence to come to your throne this morning because of the great work and completing work that Jesus did. We thank you for prayer partners, for people who pray with us during the week, for opportunity to turn and see how you're answering prayer because you hear us when we pray, and you answer us when we pray, and we thank you for reminding us of that. God, we pray for those with health concerns, for surgeries that are coming up, those with some serious issues with their health, with cancer battles, those with COVID symptoms who have come back from travel. We're asking you for health, for great care, for great nurses and doctors, for answers to health concerns. We're praying for friends of ours who are on long-term mission and short-term mission. We pray your protection. We pray for boldness, God, for those who are considering baptism, it's such a great step to celebrate the very real work that you've done in hearts. We pray for boldness as we prepare for baptism in a couple weeks. God, we thank you for family. We pray for this grandfather with dementia. We pray for strength for the family that's supporting that grandfather. We pray for this young man who is going through the pain of a breakup, and that you would become more real to this young man than ever before, that he'd know that he can trust in your plan. God, comfort him. We pray for this 15-year-old niece whose father has suddenly passed, and we pray that you would become, again, so very real during this time to this 15-year-old. Carry her and comfort her.
I agree.
God, thank you for our church family. We pray for a great location to serve you in, to worship you in. We pray that you will provide that in your perfect time, and we trust you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this time in your presence this morning. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' holy and powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again for sharing your Sunday morning with us and do life with us. It's been a special year and a half to get to do church in this new way. So thank you so much. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next week. We'll be having beer the same time next week. If you're able to join us for that disco fest at 11:30 at Wapato Park, love to have you come out. So anyway, God bless you guys.
Turning lights around.
never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. That is who you are.